Okay, I've just hit start recording and I've come out walking the dog, brave as I am, without my white stick. I've got absolute fig old vision, but you know, everyone knows their neighbourhood well, so you don't really need a stick if you know your street, where the major obstacles are. And I'm walking back home. I've got my border collie in front. He's not a guide dog, he's just a family pet. Home, Todd, home. And he'll take me home. He's a clever 15-year-old. Oh, right, I'm in the middle of the road. I can hear a car coming behind me. And I'm about to turn left. Home, Todd! And he's just gone like, okay, he's take me on the pavement. And he's stopping. Car's gone past and he's pulling me down the pavement, but I'm not going to go down the pavement. I've stepped onto the cul-de-sac instead. Dogs always prefer pavements because they've got more bushes to sniff, except as I've got more wet hedges to get my face filled with. And it's a cul-de-sac I live on with no obstacles apart from Stan the van. That's Stan, who's a builder. He's got a van halfway down my street. He's the only guy who parks a car or whatever, a van on the street. So I know if I stick to the left, I know I will definitely not hit any vehicle. If I walk on the pavement, there's two lampposts to hit and lots of various hedges. And on a Friday, lots of wheelie bins to hit. So it's better walking on the road. And Todd's walking beside me now on the lead, so he's sort of gently keeping me in a straight line. And I know I'm sort of towards the left curb, so I'm not going to hit any van. I don't know if his van is there or not. And my house is absolutely at the top of the cul-de-sac, facing down the street, so it's easy to find. Home, Todd. I want to say that when I'm really close to it, he will take me up the right drive. So this was my late night last walk of the dog. I've just been chucking a stick for him down the two streets away, which is like an empty street with grass left and right, sort of a road to a where there's sort of no houses. It's like a factory at the end, so it's public land and it's great for chucking a stick and playing, and you hear the odd tawny owl and things like that. And he's just taking me up the drive, down the side. He's 15, but I tell you, I'm going to miss him. But we are talking about me getting proper. Oh, that's him dropping his stick. Good lad. Now watch this, everyone. Listen. Shake! Shake, Todd! Shake! Come on, Todd. Don't let me down now. Oh, dear boo. Shake! Shake! Oh, he's brilliant at that normally. Hang his lead up. Right. Shake! Shake! Shake, Todd! Shake! Come on, Todd! Shake! Shake! He does it to command. It's because he's not at all wet. But normally if he's wet, when I tell him to shake at the door, he will shake. Right, shake! Shake! It's like a magician doing a magic trick to a camera and it not working. Right, one more time. Shake, Todd! Shake, shake! Oi, what are you up to? Come on then. Int. Come on, Todd. Straight into his basket. He's a good old lad. That's my... we've had a nice evening. That's my little... not very significant audio boo for tonight. You know, I really miss the beam, 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 beam start recording sound, because I've just clicked on record and I really, no absolute certainty, it's recording.
Oh no, it says pause recording, so it must be recording. But I just thought I'd put at the end of my recording since I've now got 10 minutes record time. Just to say, I am definitely not a strong advocate for blind people going out without a white stick. And to be honest, you've got to be totally crazy to do that. And but actually, for all blind people, I think it helps to be a little bit crazy. Because how else could we cope if we weren't a little bit crazy with the crazy incidents we get into? But I do and have heard of a couple of people that are genuinely fully blind, zero eyesight perception, and still choose to go out without any kind of indicator of their sight difficulties, which I think is a reckless thing to do and a hazard to themselves as well as to other people. But those people also, I know, do sort of restrict their world, their opportunities. They choose to stay indoors. And, you know, I remember when I was 18, finished college, I struggled through college with my eyesight getting worse. And really, you know, I remember going around my hometown of Huddersfield, scared of, you know, bumping into somebody or anything, trying to buy a shirt in Burton's, trying to look like I was normally sighted, but really struggling, never asking anyone what the bus numbers were and things like that. But then as soon as I went to university, away from my hometown, where I wasn't going to meet anybody that I'd been brought up with, it didn't matter. And I used a symbol cane, and it was fantastic. It was liberating. And I did not mind it, get using the stick at all. And it was like born again. It was absolutely brilliant. People were helping. You know, it didn't matter if I couldn't find anywhere or bump into things, because people were just helping all the time. It was the best thing I did, going to university with a different area, with my white stick. And that then absolutely gave me extra confidence to go on thereafter. So I just encourage anyone who's in that border sort of period of their life where they're sort of really needing a white stick but not, just almost get over yourself, start using it, and there's no shame in it, and it will give you more confidence and more opportunities to do things. Anyway, I'm just having a cup of hot water, dunked a couple of rich tea biscuits. Todd's had a drink and his supper, and off to hit the sack. I've got a whole pile of audio books in my drafts that I'm sort of like, oh, I can't publish this, it's embarrassing. You know, I still don't get the point of audio book in some ways, because I sort of think it's a bit introspective. You know, why am I even doing this? But I sort of do feel strongly about the white stick thing, because I've just been out. I just came in. Oh, the reason I went out without a white stick tonight is we've just been out to see some friends, came back. I walked in the front door. Todd's been in all evening. I walked straight out of the back door. Denise is tired. She goes straight to bed. Kids are all sorted. They'll go up to bed. And Todd's been in all evening. So I just walked straight in, out the back door, grabbed the lead, and my white stick isn't there for some reason. So it's probably by the front door. But I just wanted to walk out and take him out quickly. Simple, no hassle. Instead of put shoes on, shoes off and all that malarkey, running through the house looking for a stick. And I know where I'm going. And at this time of night, 11 o'clock at night, you know, there's a bit of traffic at the top of the road going across, but, you know, it's easy enough. I can hear that. My biggest fear on the roads are cyclists. I'm a cyclist myself. I love the tandem. But I remember one time crossing a road, listening, stepping out, whoosh, and I nearly lost my nose because of a cyclist passing in front of me. I mean, I'm a hazard to cyclists, obviously. The cyclist would have had more damage than me, I presume, but you can't hear a cyclist coming, you know. So that's another reason to have a white stick, because a cyclist approaching you, if you've got a white stick, he will give